In both of these lessons, Solomon is beginning his descent. He's coming to a landing. He's drawing his final conclusion. And he's once again really pressing home that there's two ways to live. You can live in the fear of God, or you can live merely under the sun. All of us have to deal with this under the sun existence. But there's only two ways to handle it. You can live it merely with that perspective, or you can live above the sun in the fear of God and allow your knowledge of Him and your relationship with Him to affect the way you live. And so we're coming to a close, and we're driving home points that we've already discovered here. And we're going to find ourselves addressing one familiar verse in Proverbs and really seeing it fleshed out in this passage. So it's really interesting what Solomon does here. Let me pray real quickly, and then we'll jump into the text here. God, I pray you'd give us understanding of this passage. It's a lengthy passage. There's many details here. Help us to do a good enough job of understanding the overarching theme so that we're challenged as we seek to apply it throughout the week, and to be able to fill in enough details where we have specifics that we can address. And I pray that you would give us grace to follow you in this area. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Here's the schedule. This lesson is Ecclesiastes 11:1 through 12:7. If you just let your eyes look at that passage, you'll notice that it's lengthy enough. We're probably going to take 2 weeks on this section, but it really goes together, which will then lead us with a third and final week to take verses 9 through 14 of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. So we jump into chapter 11, coming to a close here. And anyone familiar with athletics, anyone who's been involved with athletics at all, or watched athletics, or heard the term athletics, probably is familiar with the term fundamentals. In February 2013, one of the writers for Youth Fitness magazine wrote this: standing 2 feet away from the basket, holding the ball with one hand above your head, and simply snapping the wrist to make a basket. Grabbing a bag of wiffle balls, putting one on the batting tee, then continually hitting wiffle balls in your garage. After speaking with multiple NBA, MLB, and NFL players about the secrets to their success, several times it came back to their continually working on the fundamentals they learned as a child growing up. It's not new news, right? You had that drilled into you as a youth athlete yourself. You've got to perfect the fundamentals. And so skilled basketball players spend innumerable hours practicing working on ball handling, passing and catching, boxing out, layups, free throws, unless you're Shaq. Wise basketball players hone their hit, or baseball players rather, hone their hitting, throwing, fielding, and base running, unless you're a Milwaukee Brewer or Cincinnati Reds who didn't play defense at all yesterday. Determined football players continue to sharpen their footwork, their ball security, which is so huge, right? Their tackling, their play reading. These fundamentals become the foundation upon which a successful athletic career is built. And so you can go to any, think of the NBA right now. You can look at any of the all-stars in the NBA, and they have honed their fundamentals. They have sharpened their fundamentals. They have spent hours working on their fundamentals so that their athletic success can have a sure foundation. Throughout most of this second half of the book, you think chapter 6 on, we have been discovering the advantage of wisdom to navigate this under-the-sun, futile, vain existence. Fundamental to such a life of wisdom is the fear of God. Simply being rightly related to Him. Without a good grasp of this fundamental, wisdom will be short-lived at best or non-existent at worst. Solomon's already made the connection between the fear of man and wisdom in his introduction to the second half of this book. That introduction took place in chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. If you were here with us, remember the lesson on wisdom for worship. In that section, as he introduced this alternative way of living in the fear of God, he summarized his wisdom on worship with this phrase in verse 7, "Fear thou God." Now, as he begins to conclude this second half, he again draws this connection between one's view of God and his manner of life. The fear of God is fundamental to a life of wisdom. In fact, Solomon almost stated it that way when he wrote in a verse that we all know, Proverbs 9, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." That verse has come alive to me studying this passage. I don't know that I've ever really taken the time to grasp what does he mean by beginning. He's talking about the fundamentals. if you want to live wisely and at least have the advantage of somewhat successfully navigating this elusive, this futile, this frustrating existence, if you want to live wisely, fundamental to that, beginning that, is the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You could take chapter 11, verse 1 through chapter 12, verse 8 and summarize it with that one verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's fundamental to the life of wisdom. Our passage today, just look at some of the conjunctions you learned in grammar class, right? Conjunctions tie two ideas together, two phrases together. Look at the number of conjunctions in here. Look at verse 1. 4. Look at verse 2. 4. Verse 6. 10. Same thing. 4. Look at verse 8. Yet. Look at verse 9. But. Look at verse 10. Therefore. All these conjunctions tying together themes, ideas, concepts. What are the concepts being joined? Every time, it's the fear of God mentality with a life of wisdom mentality. And we'll see that over and over and over again. These verses really dichotomize life into two familiar divisions, work and play. Really does. These verses, work and play. Life can be summarized in those two terms. We're going to be a little bit more mature about it, and we'll use the terms enterprise and enjoyment. But it's work and play, quite simply. The area of enterprise or work is dealt with in verses 1 through 6 of chapter 11. And play or enjoyment is dealt with in verses 7 through 7. Chapter 11, verse 7 through chapter 12, verse 7. In both sections, the teacher shows that being rightly related to God, what we'll call the fear of God aspect, aids us, is fundamental to, is the beginning of right practice, which we'll call the wisdom aspect. And so we'll trace both of those aspects as we look at work and as we look at play. So your first main heading there, and that's probably all we'll look at today, is the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom in our enterprise, in our work, our activity, our involvement, our endeavors. We'll use the term enterprise. Let's look at these first six verses together. In fact, Carla, can I just start over here? And we'll just work our way across this way. Actually, we'll kind of weave back like this. We'll go around Johnny and then around. Let's do chapter 11 and just the first six verses.
Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will not find it after many days.
Give a portion to seven or even to eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth.
If the clouds are full, they pour out rain upon the earth, and whether a tree falls toward the south or toward the north, wherever the tree falls, there it lies.
He who observeth the wind shall not sow, neither regardeth the clouds, shall not rain.
As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones grow, and the Lord is heard that is the child, even so thou knowest not the works of God, who make it all. In the morning sow your seed, and at evening which will not grow. You do not know which shall prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be.
So again, before you take your eyes away from the text, just let your eyes glance through it again, and do you not see the emphasis on work, on activity, on endeavor, on what you're engaged in? Cast your bread upon the waters. Some confusion there, we'll explain what he means, but when we understand what he's saying, he's talking about commerce. He's talking about your enterprise in the trading industry. Give a portion to seven or to eight. Again, some people may consider he's talking about being philanthropic or being generous. He is just continuing that theme of business enterprise. The idea there would be diverse in your investments. Come to verse 4. He who observes the wind will not sow, will not reap. Verse 6. In the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, do not withhold your hand from the same. This whole first six verses is dealing with enterprise, what you're engaged in, what you're active in doing. So, like we said before, let's just consider the fear of God aspect and then see how it affects our wise living. So, number one, the fear of God aspect. In this section, the fear of God manifests itself in a humble, faith-filled recognition of what one does not know about God. Okay? See, the fear of God is simply being rightly related to God. And being rightly related to God is based on the knowledge of God. But not just knowing certain things about God, also recognizing there's certain things I don't know about God. That's been a recurring theme throughout Ecclesiastes, the elusiveness of life, that there's a time and a season for everything, and God's made everything beautiful in his time. He just hasn't told me what that time is. I couldn't help but think of that reality yesterday. And I meant to mention this before for us to be praying about. You'll hear it mentioned this morning. Some of you may know David and Nadia. I just dropped their last name. It's a Russian last name or Ukrainian. Any of you know David and Nadia? They've got three little boys, and she's been expecting a little girl. She's 34 weeks along, and she felt the baby kicking, I think, on Thursday or Friday. The next day didn't feel any movement, went in, and the baby had died. And she, this weekend's going to be giving birth to a little stillborn. Time for everything, right? A time to be born and a time to die. 34 weeks along, you're expecting that time to be born. And instead, it's a time for death. And life and your plans is just ripped out of your grasp. See, part of the fear of God is recognizing, God, I don't have you figured out. I can't put you in a box. You are beyond time and space. While I'm bound by it, there's a level of blindness that I have while you see all. In these six verses, the phrase knowest not or do not know, again, if you just let your eyes glance through, you'll see it four times. The key statement would be found in verse 5. As thou knowest not what the way of the spirit or wind or how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. We just don't have God figured out. And the fear of God affects the way I engage in work. And that fear of God is knowing when I wake up in the morning, I've got an agenda and a plan and a routine. But God, I don't know what your will is today. I cannot see what you're working today. Solomon outlines here three details about life which the fear of God compels us to acknowledge our ignorance about. First, trouble. Trouble. We don't know what. We know that man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward, Job. We know that trouble is coming. We just don't know of what kind. Look at verses 1 and 2, and we'll see this clearly again. Cast your bread upon the waters. You'll find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 or to 8, for you do not know what evil. Again, it's that word that can be translated morally or socially or in a catastrophe sense. That's the way to take it here. You don't know what catastrophe. You don't know what disaster. You don't know what trouble may happen. Some people will treat these first two verses as a call to be generous. And maybe you'll even see that if you're looking at a study Bible, or you'll see a marginal note where it suggests that that's what he's dealing with here. I believe that probably the better way to take it here is that he's dealing with commerce. He's dealing with industry. He's dealing with the trading enterprise. If we were to go to 2 Kings, I believe it is, we would see that Solomon engaged in this kind of enterprise. And what he says in verse 1, cast your bread upon the waters. The word bread is used many times just to refer to food or one's goods. Send your food, send your goods upon the waters. What is he talking about? The Mediterranean, and you'll receive it after many days. You go to 2 Kings and you find out that Solomon engaged in that regularly. He loaded up his boats with all the goods of the land and he sent it out on the waters. And it wasn't until 3 years later. I thought I had the reference here and I don't see it. It wasn't until 3 years later that those ships returned with the prosperity. And so he's advocating the same. He'd seen it year after year after year that in trading there's risk, but there's wise risk involved in it. When he comes to verse 2, give your portion to 7 or to 8, now he's talking about diversity. In verse 1, he's talking about the wisdom of some risk-taking. In verse 2, he's talking about diversity. Give your portions to 7 or 8, because you don't know what kind of trouble is going to come, right? He kind of takes the role of a financial advisor. You don't know what aspect of income is going to be hit, so diversify your investments. So he's talking about business, industry, enterprise, in the context of this reality that the fear of God compels me to recognize. God, I've got my agenda, I've got my schedule, I've got my plans today. I know that man is born into trouble, and I just don't know what it's going to look like today. So I acknowledge that. I admit that I am finite and limited while you know all and see all. And in the day of prosperity, rejoice, remember chapter 7, but in the day of adversity, consider God has made the one as well as the other. So in the fear of God, I wake up on Monday with big plans for the week and with a sober recognition that God, I fear you and recognize that you might take over this week. I expect you to. I just don't know what it's going to look like. So in the fear of God, I recognize trouble's going to come. I just don't know what. I don't know what it's going to look like. Secondly, the fear of God recognizes our limitations concerning timing. I just don't know when. Verses 3 and 4 present us with a second detail that lies outside of our comprehension, and it's timing. Look at verse 3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And then this is one of those like duh statements. And if the tree falls toward the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He's being simplistic for a reason. He's being very redundant and obvious for a reason. There's an echo here of what he wrote in chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. He sees a certain cycle to things. Clouds filling up with rain and then pouring it out. The wind blowing and knocking down trees. There's a certain cycle to things, but we're unable to determine the timing. Sometimes, like the clouds, we're able to watch and anticipate them. Clouds forming in preparation for the rain, and we say, it feels like rain. It looks like rain, even then, such observations are sometimes faulty. We need only to turn on the news and watch the local weather channel. And we recognize, no matter how observant we may be in watching the clouds form, even that is really outside our abilities to predict. At other times, we're completely caught off guard. We're completely unaware. A tree falls sometimes to the north or the south. What is he saying? Sometimes in a good place, sometimes in a bad place. We can't predict it. We can't observe it. And so while we sense a certain routine and cycle to things, we just aren't able to predict the timing. And so in the fear of God, I wake up on my work week on Monday morning. And as a God-fearer, I recognize that this week will probably be taken over by forces I cannot control. And I don't know what that's going to be. I can't predict the timing of things. I've got goals, I've got agendas, I've got certain things I'm trying to accomplish, and I might have 10 things to do today, and I might, in the timing of things, only accomplish 2 today. I just don't know. See, the God-fearer starts his work week of trying to accomplish a lot of things with a recognition of his own finiteness and inabilities. Thirdly, triumph. Triumph. I sense this law of reaping and sowing. I just don't know how to accomplish it. Look at verse 6. In the morning sow your seed, and at evening withhold not your hand. In other words, he's using a grammatical feature there, talking about the whole day long. Work hard throughout your whole day. Why? For you do not know what point of energy is going to be prosperous, this or that. Or whether both alike will be good. Maybe your sowing in the morning will be beneficial. Maybe your sowing in the afternoon will be beneficial. You just don't know. We sense this law of reaping and sowing. We just don't know what point of my energy is actually going to succeed. All of us have experienced that, right? We get this big idea. We get this concept. Man, I'd like to do this. And we start to put plans in motion. And it's like we're confronted with brick walls at so many different turns. And then finally we have a breakthrough. And if we had known that we'd be running into those brick walls, we would have avoided those brick walls. We would have gone right to that point of breakthrough. We sensed triumph. We just didn't know necessarily how to accomplish it. So he counsels us to work hard because we don't know what point of effort will succeed. Now, we could take everything we just looked at and could summarize it in one word. The fear of God looks like this. Faith. What verses 1 through 6 is all about. The God-fearer walks by faith. The God-fearer has faith in things he cannot see, being as much a part of his reality as what he can see. So, to get some discussion going today, can you tell me what from these 6 verses we have learned about faith? In these verses, he hasn't really defined faith, and he hasn't really talked about faith. Instead, he's pictured it. He's fleshed it out with illustration. So, from these 6 verses, God fears, you're supposed to walk by faith in your enterprise this week. What did you learn about faith in these 6 verses? Dan.
Can be misplaced.
Okay, absolutely. Can be misplaced. And notice, he hasn't told us yet where to place that faith. Yeah, Brenda.
Obey and serve God in your working and understand why.
Great. Great. Yeah. That why question that was started at a very early age isn't always answered. But just because it's not answered doesn't mean it prohibits our engaging. Great. Ruth.
Not knowing what how it's going to turn out or whether or not something's going to be profitable shouldn't diminish our confidence that we've got to use it.
Great. Great. Absolutely. See, this is just where we live. All of us will wake up tomorrow morning and engage in enterprise. God has called us all to some kind of endeavor and activity. And we will have a frustrating week unless we fear God at the outside and admit, God, by faith, I believe there are things outside of my control. Trouble, timing, triumph, it's all outside of my control. I'm going to throw myself into what you've called me to, but admit that there are certain things about your calling that I don't understand. And I will be frustrated by unless I start my week with that admission. Here's some things that I wrote down. I wrote down, first, life cannot be lived based only on what one sees. Life cannot be lived based only on what one sees. In fact, instead, we must accept the reality of invisible things at play. And he doesn't really define in this passage why those invisible things are playing into it. He did in chapter 3. The answer is God's at play. God's at work. And so we must accept the reality of invisible things at play. And so the healthy fruits of humility and dependence are produced here. So we could say this. Your work week last week, was it filled with arrogant determination? Was it filled with prideful frustration? If that typified your work week last week, then what we're learning is maybe you didn't fear God. Maybe you forgot the invisible things at play and you tried to control those invisible things rather than admitting at the outset by faith that God, you're in control and I'm not. So the God fear will see cultivated within him because of this faith-filled perspective, a humility and a dependence. I wrote number 2, just as I meditated on, what am I learning here? We must not be disheartened by these invisible realities, but instead, this goes on into the confidence that Ruth talked about. Instead, we see them from the hand of a God, verse 5, who maketh all. This isn't a God who himself is limited. This is the limitless, sovereign God who controls all things with his hand. And so when he moves something sovereignly. And in the New Testament, of course, we learn he moves something for my good. So we're not stilted. We're not discouraged. We're not frustrated by these invisible things. We accept them from the hand of an invisible God. So a foundation for confidence and rejoicing is laid. When I come to the end of my workday, having only accomplished 3 out of my 10 items, I can still rejoice because God accomplished his will that day. And by faith, I choose to believe that. My will was not accomplished, but God never said mine would be. See how the fear of God is such a fundamental to wisdom in your work week? Indeed, it's the beginning of wisdom. I wrote down thirdly this, that these verses join the secular and the sacred. The one who fears God accepts both visible realities and invisible realities and learns to simultaneously live in light of both of them. So he doesn't get so concentrated on the invisible stuff that he can't make decisions, that he can't engage in his work because, God, you might thwart it anyways. No. He sees the visible, the clouds are forming. He sees the visible, and you know what? There's risk, but there's rewards involved. He sees the invisible, that disaster may strike. And so he sees the visible. Lots of opportunities. I'm going to diversify. He's always living in light of both what he can see and what he cannot see. And both are joined together in the God fear. So for a Christian to not walk by faith is for a Christian to give up a starting point. It's for a Christian to live short of where he must as a God-fearer. And so this person neither ignores the reality of this dualism, that there's invisible and visible realities at play. He doesn't ignore it, nor does he become anxious by it. Instead, he simply takes each day at a time, allowing his fear of God and his acknowledged ignorance of God's work to give him wisdom for the decisions he can make. So tomorrow, you're going to have some decisions given to you, and you're going to have other decisions made for you. And they're going to be made for you by things you cannot see. Friend, don't get frustrated by that. You've got a God who is on his throne, who is accomplishing his will and thwarting yours. And friend, that's always a good thing. So take each day of your endeavor, of your enterprise from the hand of God in faith, in fear, living in light of what you cannot see. And that's the beginning of wisdom. Can I just highlight the wisdom aspect for you there? Number two, we've laid the foundation. What we've just done for the last 20 minutes was we worked on the fundamentals. We preached to ourselves the fear of God so that tomorrow you can live wisely. And notice how practical he gets. Letter A, investing. Wisdom is seen in three different areas of enterprise. First, investing. And notice how practical he is. He suggests that we spread broadly. Letter B, planning. He says, don't delay. If all you do is just look at the weather patterns and try to figure out when you ought to plan, you'll never discover the ideal time. The ideal time, friend, is now. That's what he's getting at. Don't delay. Thirdly, in labor, wisdom in laboring. What is the wisdom? Work hard. Because you don't know what point of energy is going to bring the profit. So work hard. Spread broadly. Don't delay. Work hard. Why? Because you fear God. In your faith-filled relationship with God, you acknowledge there are things beyond me. Timing, trouble, and triumph. I'll never have it figured out. So I'm going to engage in faith and with wisdom this week. I'll spread broadly, I'll work hard, I won't delay, and I'll take each day and each decision and each opportunity from the hand of God. This really goes against the grain of those of us in this room who are planners. We like to think well out. We like to have our ducks in a row. The only problem is, in life, it's nigh impossible to do that. And so the God-fearer will preach to himself and learn to take each day of his enterprise as from the hand of God, gratefully, humbly, confidently, engaging in what God has called him to do because he fears God. And trust God's plan is better than his own. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We haven't even gotten to enjoyment. And that's good. That's what our plan was. We'll take that next week. But folks, don't be hearers only. When you wake up tomorrow morning, wake up and brush your teeth with a new perspective. Preach to yourself the will of God. Even the elements that you don't know. And then throughout the day, choose to wisely accept each decision, each opportunity from the hands of that sovereign, gracious God. Let's pray. God, thank you for the very practical wisdom that you've just given to us. All of us will wake up tomorrow and engage in your plan for that day. And we don't have a clue what that looks like. David said this, you've written all of my days in your book. So you've written tomorrow, and I don't have a clue what you wrote. I may have an inkling. I've got an agenda. I've got a schedule. I've got a specific job, and I'm going to wake up tomorrow and try to engage in that. But I really don't know the details, and that's good because it forces me to fear you. It forces me to faithfully follow you and confidently and humbly and thankfully take each moment and each day as they come. Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my struggle here. Lord, I pray that you would help us to walk in wisdom because we've laid a foundation of fear towards you. Lord, there are things that we just don't know about you, and that's good. Never figuring you out is the best thing because it reminds us that you're altogether different than us. You're not from around here. And you thus are God indeed. Lord, we go to worship you now. And we want to do so in spirit and in truth. The songs may not be what we would have chosen. The styles may not be our own. The scripture reading may not speak to us immediately. So, Father, I pray that you and your spirit would open our hearts in ways that we never could. so that having met with you today, we are transformed into your image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. May your people be encouraged as they envision Christ in his splendor again today. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.